Presenting a proven way to build your endowment with a sustainable gift planning program, this is the Gift Planning Development Podcast, an ongoing forum designed to help you meet all of your gift planning goals.
Welcome to the Joe Tumalo Podcast. I'm so happy to have my guest here today, Amy Buick. Welcome, Amy.
Thank you, Joe.
Amy is the
Director of Major Gifts at Abington Health Foundation here in the Philadelphia market.
That's correct.
And Amy and her team have, you've been raising a lot of money lately.
We have. We've been in a wonderful situation. We've had two capital campaigns back to back, one celebrating the hospital's 100th anniversary, and then we rolled right into another campaign to help secure revenue for an outpatient cancer center.
Beautiful. Now, I've never fundraised in healthcare. My impression is that, and I guess it's like this in a lot of different sectors, but you have grateful patients who, hey, you know, you saved my mother's life 2 years ago. I'm grateful. I'll make a nice gift, maybe a one-time gift. And then maybe that, while they're still grateful, that gratitude, that affinity wanes over time. And I don't know if that's more prevalent in healthcare than it might be in other areas.
I think you do tend to see people come and go, but at the same time, you do find that you have a real true and committed base. And yes, you may be connected to the organization because of an event, either one where you received great care or a loved one. And if the organization can continue to engage those types of friends, if you will, then I think you can have a really healthy environment for long-term relationships.
And the amount of money you guys are raising in a relatively short period of time, how do you keep that pipeline fresh? You know, I assume you got your first, whatever, 60% of the goal, right? Going back to your, well, how much of that initial revenue was from current donors versus any new people?
That's a great question. For us, we have seen a majority of the revenue come from our friends that have been really close to the organization. And I think some of that was because we had a short ramp up time. And so we really did engage our friends, really, really close individuals and families connected to the organization. And then as time evolved, went along, we did start to develop other streams of friendships, if you will, and we really have developed nice strategies around the grateful patient opportunities, vendors to the hospital, even the physicians, and a couple of other pools that are related to doing business with a pretty big hospital.
I've always complimented you on the fact that you are a master networker. You know how to connect people. You know how the value of helping other people get what they want. So as fundraisers, yes, we're under pressure to bring the gifts in. And sometimes that forces us to maybe just focus on our agenda, right? Hey, we have building to build. Let's just get the gift in. You have this wonderful way about you, whether you've worked on it or whether it comes naturally, of understanding that life lesson, that the more you can help other people, the more you'll get what you're looking to accomplish as well. And the simple example you had told me about a donor who I believe was either a realtor or had some type of business, and you had let them know that you're in the community meeting people, and if there was anybody that they ever want to meet, or if you ran across someone that maybe might benefit from what they're doing, that you would connect them. So you're really good at connecting. And I think certainly in a civic-minded type of fundraising environment, that's been a lot of your success, is being able to connect and network and bring in new people and connect them to the hospital.
So, I mean, that's an interesting element in fundraising, because you're having conversations all the time, hopefully, and you're learning things about people and they're sharing. And, you know, if you're in a position to connect, why not? There's no downside in doing it. It helps further them along in a path that they're following. And I think is it innate, or do you, you know, pick it up and make it your own? And I think it's a combination, to be truthful. And I was fortunate to have some mentors along the way who did their fundraising in that way. And it was never completely self-centered. They were always so mindful of the organization's goals and that they were working on behalf of those goals. And so in every moment, in every conversation, you're not representing yourself, you're representing an organization. So why wouldn't you help people? And if it is off your metrics, be mindful of that. But it should not stop you from doing that. It's a good thing.
It's a great thing. Is the public, the general public sentiment around healthcare these days, rising healthcare, some people not being able to get insurance, some people not being able to pay the deductibles, some pharma companies charging crazy prices for their drugs, is that isolated to a certain segment of the population that maybe are either not philanthropic or don't have the disposable income anyway to give? Do you see that affecting or creeping into your constituency or the hospital's ability to raise the amount of money you need to raise? Or people like, you know what, I'm paying all this money, I'm not going to give to, why would I donate to? It's like the parent at the private school or the independent school saying, I pay $30,000 a year in tuition, why am I going to make a donation? Or is that such a small percentage it doesn't
really? No, I think everybody's thinking about that in the U.S. I think it's a very complex part of the sector. And we know, for example, the U.S. spends over $3.3 trillion in health care. I think the average turns out to be about $10,000 per person, and it's almost 18% of the nation's GDP. Those are realities. Philanthropy can't fix that. But what we are seeing is that people almost are more motivated to, in a community-based way, almost a grassroots way, impact the hospital that's closest to them. So we're very sensitive to the reality of the cost. It impacts patients, physicians, and the hospital itself. So yes, always being aware of that. It's a reality. But then also, it's just been this amazing environment to have conversations where people can truly make a difference and benefit the patients that are served by the organization down the street, if you will.
Beautiful. Any advice? It sounds like what podcast would be complete without the host asking the guest, what advice would you give to young people getting into if younger folks want to break into healthcare fundraising? Any suggestions as far as, you know, what skill sets should they be developing? Probably is the
No, I think
question.
That's a neat thing to think about. And I have done fundraising in other areas, higher ed and public policy. And I think in healthcare, you would want to start every day thinking about two things, and that's your internal customers and your external customers. Your internal customers being physicians, clinicians, medical staff, nurses. And they're important because they essentially help you craft the case for support. And so I would say being very mindful of their time is extremely important. And you have to think of it like their time during the day is to help people get better, to cure, and us approaching them may take away from that. And that's so important. And that's what we want to have happen. So you're going to have to be flexible if you want to get into the healthcare fundraising field. You might have to meet 7 in the morning before a physician starts his rounds or her rounds. And you really want to get to know the support staff. Wonderful individuals make these offices work, these practices work. And they can help you know when, for example, the physician has office hours. And that's probably a better time to try to have a conversation, 15 minutes, 30 minutes, than on a day when there's emergencies or someone slammed trying to fit in patients that cancel the day before. We see that happen a lot. So you have to have flexibility. Absolutely.
It is a great topic around the doctors and nurses. How they are so busy and the nature of their work, they're just have a million things going on. How much can we expect of them to help us, connect us with their patients? Do you see the younger folks, the younger docs coming in, being more open to that? Any trends around the involvement of docs, certainly for mm-hmm. referrals on one side, and then docs, whether they're, as time goes by, becoming more interested in being donors themselves, supporting themselves.
I think the idea that you're getting at is, you know, can you expect maybe pressure demand a physician or a clinician to be involved in philanthropy? And I would say to that, no, because of the patient physician relationship. But at the same time, boy, is it great when they are involved, and you'll be more successful as a fundraiser when they are involved. And there are very specific strategies that have developed over the years for enabling that process to happen in appropriate and orderly ways. I mean, we're governed by HIPAA, patient privacy, mm-hmm. so that comes to play, and every fundraiser has to be well-versed in how that applies to fundraising. And it's a opportunity to build, if you will, a program around your physician's comfort level. And we've been doing that over the last couple of years, and it's been very successful. And we focus on recognizing gratitude and what that looks like and what clinicians can do when they recognize that happening. When someone says, thanks, is there something that I can do? How can I ever repay you? That often happens in the healthcare space. And we find that physicians, their instinct is to say, oh, that's my job. This is why I'm here. This is my calling. This is what I do. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes that can actually come off as being a little bit dismissive. And that's where philanthropy can partner, and with an introduction from the physician to someone in development, it's a really nice opportunity to work with a family or a grateful patient to present them with some ideas of how, in fact, they can directly impact the work of that physician or that unit. It can be through research. It can be through helping that physician and their practice acquire advanced technology. And there's just a variety of things that can come out of that partnership of philanthropy and the clinician.
Do you think that there's just, it's the personality of the person that a certain percentage, like anything in life, certain percentage are going to get it and understand the value and want to help you. Another percentage are going to be kind of indifferent. Maybe they're coachable. And another percentage, maybe another third, have zero interest and you're never going to get them to do anything. Do you think that holds true? And B, do you think that middle segment are coachable? Do you think they are coachable?
Yeah, I kind of look at it as going in understanding that what I do is very different than what they do. And it's comes down to comparative advantages. I am not going to be poking anybody with a needle or placing a catheter. It's just not going to happen. It's not my skill set, my strength. And vice versa, physicians, clinicians will often say, you mean people actually want to give? People want to support what we're doing? How do you do that? And so it's kind of a nice thing that we've got everybody in roles and responsibilities and working those roles and responsibilities. So, you know, we've taken an approach where we know that we needed to educate, to expose physicians a little bit more to what building a culture of philanthropy means at an organization. And like I mentioned before, we didn't do that in isolation. Every step of the way, we asked for feedback and we made some adjustments to our planning. And then we presented a variety of tools that makes it as easy as possible for our clinicians to essentially recognize gratitude and then make a pass off and make an introduction. And it's worked really well. And you know, are there people that are not interested in doing that? We often find it's more of a limitation of time, and we'll always understand and appreciate that. And we've actually seen some physicians able to communicate that to us. It's just not a good time for me to pick up one more thing. And yeah, you roll with it. You really do. And we've kind of developed a concept around a philanthropy champion in the workplace, in the hospital. And it can be a nurse, it can be a physician, it can be anybody that's involved in the hospital. And it's really being able to recognize people signaling that they want to do something more. And philanthropy is just a wonderful place to help people get connected in that way.
Well, you speak so eloquently and you've done such a great job I'm sure the Abington Health is thrilled with you as well. And we really appreciate your time today. Anything else you want to leave with our listeners that would be helpful, either, again, for people getting into healthcare fundraising or people in healthcare fundraising that might not be getting the results that they're hoping to get?
I think at the end of the day, when you're wondering if you should pick up the phone, stop wondering and put the effort into dialing the number. I think all of philanthropy rests around getting to know the people you're talking to and make the phone call, you know, set up the lunch, do it. And at a minimum, you're going to learn more about the organization and the people the organization is serving, and you really have nothing to lose.
And I did not pay you to say that. Pick up that phone.
Amy, no, but I do learn from you, Joe. I am a student of yours. That's our disclosure.
We learn from each other. Amy, if someone has questions, wants to get in touch with you, how would they get in touch with you?
Probably email abuick@gmail.com.
Abuick, like the car, @gmail.com.
Correct.
All right. Amy, thank you so much. Until next time.
Thank you for listening to the Gift Planning Development Podcast. For more information on any of the topics you've heard about today, please go to giftplanningdevelopment.com.